Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Now let's go into the service for today's message.
Well, I want to welcome you to the sanctuary. And if you're in the cafe, we're glad you're here. In a few moments, at the end of the message, we're going to all in the sanctuary, we're all going to be partaking of communion. And also in the cafe as well, you'll be served. I'm really excited about the message, but before I get into that, I want to preview where we're going for the next few weeks in our church in terms of the teaching. The conversation that we're going to be having as a church is called One Day, and it's about hope for the last days. I'm going to bring themed messages for about 6 weeks on the powerful events of the end time, which are intended not to frighten you, but to encourage you. Everybody that needs hope, say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The greatest events that have ever taken place in the history of the world are immediately in front of us. We are in the end times. We are in the last days. And so we want to know from God's point of view, from the prophetic scriptures, what is coming? Is revival coming? Is the rapture real? Is Jesus going to return? What is going to be happening in the end times? What does the Bible say? And listen, it's all good news. So we're going to be talking about that for a few weeks. I think that's going to build us up and give us hope for being alive and victorious, not running from the devil, not hiding in the ground and in the rocks, but being the church, the ecclesia of God in the last days. Hallelujah. But today, we're ready to kill some more giants. How many are ready to kill some more giants? If you don't know what I'm talking about because you haven't been here, we've been in a series of messages called Ugly Giants, Happy Warriors, because we are facing some enemies in our lives, and here in Silicon Valley, we're facing very real spiritual battles, but we're happy because Christ has given us victory. I want us to be happy warriors, winning warriors, people that understand how to shut down what the enemy is doing in our lives and really bring transformation to our community. Now today, we're going to talk about shutting down what I call the separation giants. And we've looked at the time giant. We've learned how to deal with time in this series, how to see time from God's perspective. We've dealt with stress, all right? We've taken a look at that, the whole issue of pressure and how the enemy wants to use natural pressure to bring supernatural hindrance to our life. We've even looked at money and the issue of mammon. We looked at that last week. You can catch all the messages online if you're interested in those subjects. But today's giant, today's ugly giant, I believe is probably one of the ugliest ones going. Now, I'm going to talk really seriously. We're going to have some fun. We're going to laugh. We're going to cry maybe a little bit at communion, receive God's grace and forgiveness. But I'm going to shoot straight on the issue of division and separation, because what I see, and I'm especially moved today by these words on this 4th of July weekend: one nation under God. One nation under God, indivisible. And I believe that the issue of unity, the issue of division, how the enemy works to bring division, and how God wants to bring unity is crucial for us. So we're going to just have an open conversation about this. And I believe if we have fallen short, and surely we have, God's going to forgive us and get us back on the right track. We're going to have communion at the end. We're going to believe for miracles of reconciliation for families, for marriages. We're going to believe that Santa Clara County is going to have one healed, united church in our lifetime. Amen. And we're going to see revival. We're believing and contending for the best that God has for us. But to get there, we've got to see this separation giant. We've got to deal with it. So here's what the scripture says. Paul the apostle, writing to the church at Corinth, says, "My brothers and sisters, I urge you by the name of our Lord Jesus, the anointed, to come together in what? Agreement." Now, it's interesting that this voice translation says Jesus the anointed. It makes me recall Psalm 133 that talks about how the anointing is present and released when God's people come together in unity. Amen. The commanded blessing, right? So he says, I want you guys in the name of the anointed one to make sure you keep that unity strong. And this is what he says. Do not allow, watch this, anything or anyone to to create division among you. Instead, be restored, completely fastened together with one mind and with shared judgment. The words of the Apostle Paul calling us to come together in a way under the power of Jesus that nothing and no one can divide us. Here's what I believe God wants us to understand today. That the enemy, our enemy, we are in a spiritual battle and he wants to bring separation. But God, our God, expects us to unite and reconcile. May I offer that to you on a national level? Can I focus some remarks about our nation? Can I talk also openly with you about our families and the need for agreement and unity in our families and our churches and the church? Can we just have a conversation today about the power that is released when we come together and also the terrible danger that is done when things get separated? The separation giants are at work today. I don't think there's a person hearing my voice right now whose life has not been damaged by broken relationship, a broken family, a broken home. Many people hearing my voice today, you've been through a difficult time in a church or a workplace environment where separation, division, and brokenness just got ugly. It just took a tremendous toll. And so the work of division is all around us. But I believe that we can understand this in a better way, that we can see the spiritual dynamic behind it and just avoid a whole lot of pain in life. Let me mention, too, something that I think is important. We need to distinguish between what I'll call healthy separation and unhealthy separation. Okay, there are times when it is a healthy thing for us to separate in a godly way. For example, both of my sons are married. They have their own wives now. They're building their own families. They have separated. They left my home, and they've started their own home. Nothing unhealthy about that. In fact, that's the plan of God. Jesus said that, therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall cling to his wife, right? And they two shall be one. So not all separation is evil. There is sometimes a good separation. Another example of good separation would be me separating from sin. Right? I don't want to have anything to do with sin, so I got to be careful. And also, sometimes we find ourselves in unhealthy, spiritual, abusive relationships or damaging, violent relationships. And the last thing that I would want anybody to take away from this message on unity is that it is God's will for you to stay in an abusive environment. God wants there to be healthy separation, and so healthy separation can be a good thing. However, unhealthy separation is when God is the author of trying to bring something together, something that's supposed to be together, something that's not meant to separate, but the enemy is trying to tear it apart. And that's what's causing so much pain and so much damage in families, in churches, and actually in our nation. And I have to say this, here it is, 4th of July weekend in America. And I'm carrying a burden. I mean, I'm a very hopeful, optimistic person. I believe in the power of prayer, and I believe in revival and great things that can turn a nation around. But I'm so concerned, and one of the things I'm very concerned about in America is this rancorous division that we are in right now. I don't think I've ever seen people more torn apart along party lines, racial lines, political lines, economic lines. There's so much separation in our country right now. And that's got me as worried as any moral issue, as any law or any political issue. What's got me just as worried as anything about our country is the tremendous division. I want us to be one nation. And I want us to be indivisible. Regardless of creed or color, regardless of party, and regardless of economic theory, you know, the enemy wants to destroy the unity of this country. And I think sometimes we're just as guilty as anybody else for contributing, I think, to the divisive nature in the community right now. An alarm has to be sounded, and we should sound an alarm over the issues of our day. But we should not do it in a divisive and hateful and evil way. Can I have a good amen this morning? So, healthy separation, unhealthy separation. We get that. The enemy is the one who's trying to bring unhealthy separation, and he's been doing it since the Garden of Eden. The very first move that the enemy made was to try to separate Adam and Eve from God. And the very first consequence of separation was in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve lost that relationship and close fellowship with God through sin. And then it started to affect their marriage. He started blaming her. He even told God, "Lord, the woman that you gave me, she was the one." And men and women have been blaming each other and fault finding and counting sins against each other ever since. God has something better for us. God wants us to be healed, and he wants us to be restored, and he wants us to experience his blessing on the unity that is in our lives. So let me talk for a few brief moments about what I'm calling the separation gang, all right? And I'm not talking about one giant here this morning. I'm talking about a pack of giants, a gang of giants that I believe are loose in the earth today that need to be dealt with. And specifically, this relates to Silicon Valley, and I want to tell you how. It was about the year 2001, and there was a strong, strong revival taking place in the nation of Argentina. And that revival had lasted some 40 years in that nation, and many, many hundreds of thousands of people came to faith in Christ in Argentina. Some of the leaders of that revival were involved in really strong forms of prayer and also a kind of discernment called spiritual mapping, where they would understand the forces that were at work in their city and kind of map out what was going on. In other words, what form was evil taking and how could they pray against it? One of the pioneers of spiritual mapping was a man named Eduardo Lorenzo. And in 2001, Eduardo Lorenzo came to San Jose, California, and met with about 40 pastors that were here in our city. And I will never forget that meeting. It was at Valley Christian High School. And he talked about, you know, the importance of unity, and he talked about what God was doing in Argentina through unity and how so many people were coming to Christ. And then he said, "I have to tell you that as soon as I landed in San Jose," he said, "I discerned immediately the presence of an evil structure that was over the Santa Clara County." And he said, "It's like a gang of evil spirits who are targeting churches and pastors." Now, I'll never forget that because, first of all, I lead a church and I'm a pastor. So I'm not looking to be anybody's target, okay? I'm not excited about anything that's targeting churches and pastors. So that kind of got my attention. But he was exhorting us about the importance of prayer and spiritual warfare and the power of unity. And some of the things that I'm going to share with you today are things that he talked to us about. And I started to think, now, what is it strange to call it a gang of demons? But as he was telling us at that same time, he said, don't be surprised about how demons work together to bring evil to a city. There's teamwork even on the dark side. How many understand that? Mary Magdalene had seven evil spirits. The demonic man at the Gadarene had over 2,000 evil spirits. So there are spirits that kind of work together in order to oppress cities. And as you travel around, as I have, here in our nation or around the world, you can kind of get a feeling about different cities. In fact, different cities have different climates, different spiritual atmospheres that they're kind of famous for. You can start naming cities and everybody knows what cities are famous for gambling and prostitution, what cities are famous for this sin or that sin, that kind of a climate. So we start to understand, okay, we're asking a question in this series, what's happening in the community that we live in? Because sometimes you can be in the forest so deep you can't even see the trees, right? And so it's like, Lord, what is happening? So Eduardo Lorenzo said, what is happening is that there is a gang of spirits that are targeting churches to break unity and to bring sickness and to bring division. And I've never forgotten that. I want to just say this. Anything that breaks healthy unity, God hates anything that creates unhealthy separation. That is definitely the work of the enemy. That is definitely not something that we want to participate in. It is clear that Christians should not be divisive. And yet, one of the problems that we have in the church of Santa Clara County is there has been a lot of division. And as our church begins to pray over our community, that there would be one healed expression of Christ in the Santa Clara Valley. That is a big prayer. And one of the giants that's standing in the land that we're going to have to overcome and we're going to have to learn to do battle with is this giant of division. May God teach us something today about not only how to win Santa Clara County for Christ, but how to be families and churches that are whole and unhealed. Amen. Whole and unbroken. If I can get my words right, I'll get through this message. Proverbs 16, chapter 6, verse 16 through 19. For there are six things the Lord hates. No, seven. Haughtiness, lying, murdering, plotting evil, eagerness to do wrong, a false witness. Be careful what you say about somebody else, especially if it's not true. Don't repeat something. God hates a false witness, right? And then that seventh one, read it with me, sowing discord. What a picture. So you have brothers, right? Maybe brothers in the Lord or family members or whatever. Then they're, you know, they're fine. They're doing great. They're connected. But somebody comes in maybe with a word. Somebody comes in with a report. Somebody comes in with a statement. And that thing becomes like a seed that goes into that unity. And that seed, instead of releasing love and together, that seed that is sown is a seed of discord. Something has been sown into that relationship. So now this brother starts to suspect this brother. He doesn't like that. He heard something. He doesn't want to say anything, but it's in his heart. And it starts to grow. And then this guy mentions something else against this guy. And pretty soon, discord has developed between brothers in the Lord. And God says, this is something I hate. Yeah. This is something that must never happen between brothers. Between people that belong together. Brothers are not meant to be divided. Brothers are meant to be joined. Amen. That's the natural design of God. That's the plan of God, that there should be unity in our families and unity in the church and unity in the nation. So God hates that. Now, why is the enemy, do you suppose, so focused on separation? Why would he want to bring separation? Because separation leads to collapse. Look what Jesus said. He said, how does the enemy create separation? Isaiah 59 verse 2 says, your sins have separated you from God. So we know sin is a great separator. The reason sin is a problem in marriage or in a church or in a friendship is because it breaks down the connection. Your sins have separated you from God. Sin is a great divider. But why do you suppose the enemy would work so hard to bring division? Here's the scripture, Matthew chapter 12. Jesus said, any king, any kingdom divided against itself is bound to what? Collapse. There's a strategy that the enemy has. It's called divide and conquer. And so division, and can I say this to us? Let's say maybe your purpose is to build a great business. Or maybe it's to build a great ministry. Maybe part of your purpose in life is to build a great family. Whatever it is. Do you know that unless you can deal with division, you can never get there? It doesn't matter how talented you are. It doesn't matter how gifted you are. It doesn't matter how great your idea is. If what you're thinking up, if your purpose, if it can be divided, the enemy can defeat you every time. It doesn't matter how great your intentions are for marriage. You say, nobody that I know gets married thinking, you know, someday we're just going to have a great divorce. Nobody plans to get a divorce. But it doesn't matter how great your intentions are unless you learn and understand the dynamics of division and how the enemy tries to come in. Once you do get this, once you understand what I'm talking about today, then you get bulletproof, right? And then you're able to build a home, build a ministry, build a business, whatever, and it cannot be divided. Build a nation that is one nation under God, indivisible. That's what we want, right? In other words, it's bulletproof against division. What is it that preserves a nation or a business or a family? Those are the questions that we've got to get, because it doesn't matter how great our plan or our strategy is. If division can take us out, we can be stopped very easily. The enemy wants to collapse every family, every home, and every church, and he will use division to do it. Now, if there was a separation gang, okay, if Eduardo Lorenzo is accurate, if he's a true prophet in what he felt, then I want to ask myself the question, what is the makeup of that gang? Who's on that team to bring division into Santa Clara County, into our families, and into our world? I want to mention at least three. There are these three, and I'm sure there are more, but these are the three that I felt like the Holy Spirit wants us to look at. Three giants that are on the separation gang. Number one, that's the fault-finding giant. We can call him the fault finder. How many of you have ever met a fault finder? Somebody that just picks and nabs and nags and notices every little thing. Not important things, just little things here and there, always finding fault. The nitpickers, the specks and slivers gang, all right? That's the crew. They're always noticing the specks in someone else's eye, the slivers over here. And if you've ever been the victim of the fault finder, you know that it's not just a bad habit. You know that it can be a spiritual force. And here's why, you know, I'm not trying to make light of anything, a little fault finding and nagging, but here's what fault finding does. Fault finding actually erodes the things that hold a relationship together. This is why it's very serious. So God has created these ligaments and bands that are to hold us together, the joint that supplies. But fault-finding and criticism attacks those things that hold us together until pretty soon we collapse and we fall apart. Fault-finding doesn't build up. Fault-finding isn't a healing thing. Fault-finding is not a nurturing thing. Fault-finding is not a supportive thing. Fault-finding is a relationship breaker. Now, that doesn't mean we have to ignore the faults and flaws of the people that we can resolve. The Bible gives us patterns for resolving our differences, right? And those are very important things that I'll teach on another time. But here's what I want us to understand. When the fault finder starts moving through us, the eventual product of the fault finder is not healing. It's not cleansing. The enemy will tell you, I'm saying this, I'm just telling it like it is. I'm just saying this for your own good. But actually, no good is actually taking place. What's going on is a person is being belittled. A relationship is breaking down. So for example, in a marriage, if one spouse is fault-finding, nitpicking, and just going at, they might think, I'm doing this to make our marriage better. But I got news for you. You don't make a better marriage by fault-finding and nitpicking. Can I have an amen on a Sunday morning? There are other ways to enhance your relationship, ways of building unity together. The fault finder will destroy your relationships. Proverbs 16 says, a perverse man sows strife, and a whisperer. Did you see what she was saying? Did you hear what she was doing? Did you notice what she was wearing? A whisperer separates the best of friends. My precious brothers and sisters, this is something that I have done in my life. God forgive me, my mouth has been used by the enemy to sow discord. And I'm sure every person in this room has fallen prey. We didn't mean to. We didn't wake up in the morning thinking, you know what? I think today would be a great day to sow some strife. I'm feeling pretty good. I'm just going to get out there and just pepper out a little bit of strife. Actually, when we do that, we probably think that we're doing God's work. We probably think when we fault find that somehow God is with us in that, that he wants us to notice the faults of another person, zero in on that. But we must be ever so careful, because that's a giant who wants to bring destruction. Amen. Then there's the contention giant. The contention giant. I think he's a part of that gang that's bent on bringing separation. Contention is it's a Bible word for arguing. You know, always contending. Have you ever been in a circumstance where people are just arguing and all of a sudden the relationships are coming apart at the seams? I mean, maybe you were at a family gathering. This, I pray it didn't happen. But I can tell you as a pastor, every Christmas, every 4th of July, every Thanksgiving, I hear reports, and I've seen it a few times in my own family, where what should have been a beautiful occasion, a time to join together, a time to heal, a time to express love, you know, for a spiritual purpose and relax and all that, turns and somebody says something about politics. Or somebody brings up something that somebody did years and years and years ago. Some mistake that happened in the family or what. Somebody makes some wisecrack, some dumb, sarcastic. Listen, let's be very careful with our words. Because words have a charge on them. Sarcasm, snarkiness, divisiveness, that's got a buzz on it. And when you throw that at somebody, it hurts. And it creates damage. And then what you start to damage, you think, well, I'm just kidding. And Proverbs says that it's wrong for us to damage our neighbor and say, I was just joking. That's not an excuse. Don't say, I was just joking. What we've got to do is get a filter on our mouth and stop the arguing, stop the harsh words and bringing up the faults and the hurts and finding dumb things to separate over. It's Christmas, for heaven's sakes. Do we have to talk about Washington, D.C. and get in a family fight? Is that really what you want to do? There's such contention. You go on Facebook, there's a fight all the time. You go to a family reunion, somebody's going to start talking about stuff. It's like, dude, let me just eat my hot link. It's 4th of July. I just want to eat a hot link. I don't want to like talk about all that. I just want to like digest my food. Can we just... The contention giant. Remember Lot's herdsman? Abraham had a nephew by the name of Lot. Abraham at that time didn't have a son. Lot was a pretty important person to Abraham. He loved him like a son. But pretty soon their shepherds, you know, the people that were taking care of the animals, they were nomadic people. They started fighting over water and grazing. And this led to a separation. Only when Lot separated from Abraham, he chose the plains of Sodom and Gomorrah. And when Lot left the household of faith, when he left his spiritual father, and he ventured off on his own because of this contention, it ended up that Lot went into a strange land where he lost his family and ended his life in total disgrace. And the descendants of Lot actually became enemies to Israel, the people of Israel. One argument. God has got to give us the technology to overcome the little stuff and to work through reconciling conversations where we deal with our issues. I'm not saying don't deal with your issues. Fix your stuff, but deal with it in reconciling adult ways because the stakes are very high. Proverbs 18 says, a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. And if you've ever tried to win somebody back after you said something you shouldn't have said, the damage is done and it is so hard to get that back. How many marriages have been damaged by one dumb statement or a series of dumb statements that leads to offense? And then you think, well, I'll just apologize and fix it. But you can't just fix it with an apology. It's super hard to win somebody back that has become offended. And also it says the contentions of that moment separate like the bars of a castle. That could describe what the enemy has been able to do in many of our families and certainly in some of our churches. It's time for us to overcome this giant and get beyond it. But there's one more giant that's on this gang that I must mention before I get to the wonderful healing power of the cross. All right? And that is, this third one is the spiritual schism giant. This is the one where we start fighting about faith issues, where we start fighting about theology and what the Bible says and what God wants and what God wills. So many people are fighting battles and destroying something that God wants to be connected, and we're destroying it because we think we have the right answer according to the Word of God. And this has been happening for thousands of years in the body of Christ, where people are fighting together, fighting about the schisms, the doctrines, the divisions of the Word of God and their opinion about it. It goes all the way back to the book of Acts when Paul and Barnabas, who were best of friends, and something got between them. Listen, if you remember the story of Barnabas, Paul was a Christian killer, and then he met Jesus and he got saved, but nobody wanted anything to do with him because he was a problem. He was like Osama bin Laden against the church. And it was Barnabas that put his arm around Paul and brought him to the brothers. And he said, brothers and sisters, he's real. He's okay. He's had a real experience with Jesus, and he is sorry for all the damage you did. It was Barnabas. These two were as close as they can be. And what a tragedy that they got into a schism over John Mark. And it wasn't until the end of Paul's ministry, when he was isolated in a jail cell awaiting execution, that he was able to send a word, get Mark and bring him to me. Paul was trying to reconcile in his last moments of life, trying to fix damaged relationships. We could say Paul was wrong. We could say Barnabas was wrong. But it isn't always about assigning blame. Sometimes it's about understanding, not who, was the husband wrong? Was the wife wrong? Was the pastor wrong? Was the person wrong? Was the red team wrong? Was the blue team wrong? We always want to assign blame. But you can't always resolve every difference. But you can have a reconciling spirit. Amen. All right, reconciliation does not require resolution of every right and wrong. You can just say, you know what? That was then, this is now, I love you, we're brothers in Christ, you're my wife, you're my husband, let's not fight about that. You don't have to get down to the nitty-gritty of every detail of who was right and who was wrong. Come on. Because maybe you're never going to resolve it that way. But if you have a reconciling spirit, if you have a reconciling heart, a heart to love and serve and be connected, somebody will know that. The spiritual schism giant. I found a story, maybe some of you have heard of it. It's a joke. It actually was voted the funniest Christian joke in history. You tell me if you think it's the funniest Christian joke in history. But it's a story that is told by a man by the name of Emo Phillips. And he tells the story this way. Once I saw this guy on a bridge about to jump. I said, don't do it. He said, nobody loves me. I said, God loves you. Do you believe in God? He said, yes. I said, are you a Christian or a Jew? He said, I'm a Christian. I said, me too. Are you a Protestant or a Catholic? And he said, I'm a Protestant. I said, me too. Don't jump. He said, what franchise? He said, Baptist. I said, me too. Are you Northern Baptist or Southern Baptist? He said, Northern Baptist. I said, me too. I said, are you Northern Conservative Baptist or Northern Liberal Baptist? He said, Northern Conservative Baptist. I said, me too. Are you Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes region or Northern Conservative Baptist Eastern region? He said, Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes region. I said, me too. Are you Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes region Council of 1879? or Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes Region Council of 1912. And he said, Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes Region Council of 1912. And I said, die, heretic, and pushed him off the bridge. Now, I don't know if that's the funniest joke in the history of the church, but it sure drives home the point of the dumb things that we allow to divide between us and other people that love Jesus with all their heart. Can I say something to you? If you love Jesus, you're my brother. Whether you believe in apostles and prophecy and devils and hell, what if you love Jesus, you're my brother. If you lift your hands when you worship, or you put your hands in your pockets when you worship. If you believe tithing is New Testament or Old Testament, you are my brother. And I'm not going to push you off the bridge. Just stay out of my way. No, that's not true. That's not true. It's the spiritual schism. How many have seen the schism giant at work in the church? You've seen that. You know, I got a beautiful letter about 2 weeks ago from someone that I haven't heard from in 12 years. They had moved away from the South Bay to the Sacramento Valley. And as far as I knew, we were perfectly good friends. And they had been in the church. And I did not know there was an issue. But 12 years later, they sent me a letter of apology for holding bitterness in their heart against me and for being schismatic and dividers. They confessed the whole thing, that when I was not present, they would say bad things. I don't even, to this day, I don't know what they did. They didn't tell me. I'm not sure I even want to know. But I just forgave them. I wrote them a letter back. I said, of course, I forgive you. They repented. And I said, please let me know if there was something that I did to you, because I would like to repent also. I didn't even know there was a problem. But imagine this, 12 years that the Holy Spirit had worked in their heart to show them that they had had a wrong conversations, wrong attitude, whatever it was that they did. And it was like they were impressed by God. You cannot go on to succeed until you fix this issue in the past. And I told them, I said, I appreciate this integrity. This is real holiness. Real holiness is not being perfect. Holiness is not never making a mistake. Holiness is being willing to square up. No matter how long it's been, to say, man, I want to own my sin. I want to repent of my sin. I want to fix that. Isn't that a beautiful story? There was a time, and we're going to come to communion in just a few minutes, but I just have to tell you, I get a little jumpy. I'm going to be honest with you. I get kind of jumpy when I see division. It triggers me. It affects me. It's very unsettling to me. I'm not used to division. I don't like it. It bothers my spirit. And I was thinking about a time in our church in the early 80s. And I'm pretty sure, Apostle C, looking back on that time, that was a time of division in our church. And it was dark. It was not just like a rough time in the church. It was like there was an assignment of the enemy, really, to take out some of the most beautiful people. And I think certainly the assignment was to destroy our church. Now, I'm happy to report to you, as you can see today, that our church is alive and well, we're healthy, and we made it through that time. I think it lasted about 4 years. But I can tell you that there was a gossip mill, there was a rumor mill, there was whispering. It was just like, you can't even say who was wrong and who was right. You don't even know where it was coming from. It was like a terrible season, terrible wind that blew through our congregation and affected so many people. And I can only say that it was demonic. And somehow, in that time, in learning, watching that happen and seeing people that I loved give up on their faith, people that I loved that were in positions of leadership give up on ministry, and leave and just walk away from God and walk away from the gospel and walk away from friendships, watching that again and again happen over a course of years, I developed something inside me. When I get anywhere near something like that, it hurts me. It bothers me. It triggers me to see divisive, to see people nipping at each other. Because I understand how dangerous it is, not just a little comment, but where those kinds of things can go. And I just feel like I want my family, I want our church, and I want this community. I don't want this community to be guilty of that whispering and nagging and biting. I want us to be able to come together in love. Is anybody with me on this? That doesn't mean we're not going to deal with our stuff. I'm not talking about burying your head in the sand. If you got an issue in a relationship, there are Bible ways of working through it. But it's that subversion. It's that dark thing of gossip, tale-bearing, bearing false witness against one another, criticizing, fault-finding, that just taking shots anonymously and, you know, small praise, little things that we can thank, you know, say, oh, did you hear that nice song? Oh, yeah, that was a good, I mean, I guess if you like that kind of music, that was nice, you know. Those little things, you know. How many understand what I'm saying? Those little things that just create an atmosphere that is ripe for the enemy. Haven't we seen enough breakups? Yes. Haven't we had enough church splits, divorces, older people throwing off younger people throwing off older people? Haven't we had enough division? Yes. Gang violence is increasing in our community. And you know what the main thing about gang violence is? It's people of one color and one part of town fighting against people of another color and another part of town. It's just the dumbest thing. And murder is increasing, and we're seeing this, and I smell a rat. That's what I smell a rat. And it's time for the church to be the church, to be the uniters, to be the reconcilers, to be the forgivers, to be the lovers, and to understand the power of the cross. Now, the band is coming, and we're going to have communion here in a few minutes. Let me just make a few final statements about this issue, because we cannot end without exploring what Jesus Christ has done to give us victory on this issue. The Bible says this. Love, when love is released, the scripture says in Proverbs 17, verse 9, love prospers when a fault is what? Forgiven. Circle that word, forgiven. That is a powerful word. If you want healing, there must be forgiveness. If you want a relationship, there must be forgiveness. Offenses are going to come, but when there is forgiveness, love prospers. Love wins. Love explodes in a family. Love prospers in a church. It multiplies in a church when there is not perfect people. No. When there is forgiveness. But dwelling on another person's fault, that separates sin. I'm here to tell you, as we come to the communion table, and ushers, you can go ahead and get ready, and I'll cue you in just a moment. As we come to the communion table, you know what I'm super glad for? I'm glad that Jesus is not dwelling on my imperfections. That's not his focus. I'm glad that his love is prospering toward me and toward you. In fact, I'm saved because God has forgiven me. And you're saved and you have a brand new life because of the forgiving love, the unconditional love. You want to know what kills the separation giants? Here's what stops them dead in their tracks. Unconditional love. When we stop focusing on the part that's negative and we just love each other, unconditional love shuts that thing down. One last scripture, Colossians chapter 1, as we come to the Lord's table. God made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. This includes you. You who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him. By what? Your evil thoughts and actions. Yet, now, he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ. And you are holy. This seems, can this be true? You are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. That is the greatest news. That is the greatest news ever. Imperfect people were forgiven by a God who loves unconditionally. And that's what brings healing. You want to see healing in your family, in your church, in your city? It's this kind of love. As we begin to sing, and as the men serve you communion, I want you to do two things. First, I want you to receive that amazing forgiveness. You may have messed up. You may have thought of something even while I was preaching that, you know, was a mistake and you need to fix. Maybe it's something from 20 years ago. Maybe it's something that happened last night. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short. I want you to receive the grace of God to completely cleanse that sin and put you in right standing with Christ as if you had never sinned. Will you do that? Will you receive that kind of love? And then I want you to think about if there's one relationship in your life that needs to be fixed. And I want you to make a commitment to Jesus to do your part, whatever that would be, to be a healer and to be a reconciler as much as it would be possible, as much, the Bible says, as much as lies within you, to do your part, to be a healer and a reconciler. Amen. Let's worship the Lord. Guys, come on, serve the people. Let's receive the grace of God and let's rejoice in our victory. Wherever there is pain, wherever there is sorrow, we apply the redeeming work of Jesus. For every family that has been touched by division, we declare healing and grace over every heart. We ask you for restoration. Lord, for every church in Santa Clara County that's been damaged, stunted, blunted by this gang of dividers, Lord, we ask that you would rebuild your church, Lord. Spotless, without spot or blemish, Lord. That we would be one healed, undivided church in Santa Clara County, including Gateway, Lord. May the sweet spirit of unity and unconditional love refresh us every day, Lord God. And for our precious nation that we love so much, Lord. Despite our concerns and our frustrations, we long to be, Lord, one nation under God, indivisible, indivisible. One church, indivisible. One family, one marriage, indivisible. I come against every spirit of separation that is affecting marriages, that is affecting friendships. Lord, I ask you to wash this clean, Lord. From this moment, let there be unconditional love released in us afresh. Lord, forgive us of our fault-finding and nitpicking, of our categorizing, classifying, dividing over color, dividing over background, economic. Lord, rid us of these evil things, Lord God. Rid us, Lord, of the thing that caused Cain to rise up against his brother, Abel. May the blood of our brother never, ever be upon our sword. May we be healed, Lord. And may we be one church that Jesus died for. Let's discern the body of Christ. We are one. Let's take the bread. And as we discern our unity, as we discern you're my brother, you're my sister, may healing flow. May sickness be broken in this place. as we make that connection. We celebrate the cup of the lifeblood of a crucified and risen Savior. And we do this in remembrance of Him. Let's take the bread. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me? I'm not sure if you're Northern Lakes Conservative Baptist of 1829 or of 1916, but there's a prayer that we have on the screen. I'm pretty sure it will work for men, women, black, white, Asian, Hispanic. It'll work for you if you don't have any church background. It'll work for you if you were raised in church. This is a prayer of surrender to Jesus. Shall we say it together? Let's say the prayer together. Father God, thank you for the unconditional love you've shown me in Christ. I confess that I've allowed my sins to separate me from you. I've also agreed with fault finders and dividers. Lord, just hit that one more time. Lord, I repent. Grant me the grace to live in love and forgiveness every day in Christ's name. Amen, amen, amen. Go ahead and give the Lord praise. Prayer teams are going to come. They'll be available for just a few moments. The barbecue is going to start, and we invite you to join us and have some lunch and get to know some folks. Come on to the front if you need prayer, and the rest of you are dismissed with the grace of God. God bless you.
We pray today's message ministered to you. If you want to accept Jesus into your life, we'd like to help you get started on your walk with Him. You may reach Gateway City Church at 408-281-7900. If we can help you in any way, please call today. One of our pastors is ready to assist you. Again, the number for Gateway City Church is 408-281-7900. Thank you for listening. If you are ever in the San Jose area, please join us and find out what so many have already discovered. Gateway City Church really is an exciting church that loves life, loves people, and loves God.